because I want to talk to you today about not taking God lightly or not taking your salvation lightly, because it does seem like a lot of folks in the time that we're living are just kind of going along, going through the motions, and they're not really taking God seriously or their walk with God seriously. So I want to just go with Matthew chapter 22, if you will. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to read like the first 13 verses here. This is a parable, but I want you to see what it says in it. It says, "And Jesus answered, spake to them," again by parables, "and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore to the highways and hedges," "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, I want you to see this thing that the master had prepared this wedding supper, and he had bidden folks to come, and those that were bidden took him lightly. Notice that. He prepared, he said, everything is ready, come, and they took it lightly. Notice, one went to his farm, one went to his merchandise. It's a lot like folks today. Today there was a lot of folks that went and did what they wanted to do. Oh, I've got too much to do at home. I can't go to church. Or some of them, as you know, I've got to get out on the lake today. Come on now. Or I've got this to do or that to do. Their merchandise, the thing that they do. And so there's a lot of similarities here when we look and see the Word of God to what we're seeing going on now. Jesus has this great supper prepared. And when he bids people, they take it lightly and they think, you know, they don't need to come. See, here's something I've kind of found out. And you see, the one guy finally shows up, but he doesn't have a wedding garment on it, which tells me that possibly he was some of those that were part of the first that were called. You see, here's the thing. A lot of folks want to go to heaven, but they don't want to go to church. Anybody notice that? Matter of fact, if you talk to them, they'll say, yes, we go to so-and-so church or whatever. And that church, if you ask their pastor, probably hadn't seen them in months. See, this guy didn't want to go to the marriage supper, but he also didn't want to miss it. He didn't want to take time out of his busy day to go and be with all of them. And then all of a sudden he realizes, if I miss it, I miss it all. And then when the master comes in, he finds him, you know, here's this guy, then he's not prepared, he's not ready for the supper. And he says, take him and bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, church, it's a serious thing to serve God. God takes it He takes it so serious, as Stephanie said, that He allowed His Son Jesus Christ to die so that we could come to the wedding supper. But so many people take it so lightly. The least little thing, and oh, I can't go to church. I can't go worship God today. Let me tell you something. Worshiping God is the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life. It don't matter what you accomplish in the world, no matter what kind of accolades you get, the main thing is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you ready for Jesus when He says, come? Amen. That's the most important thing that we can have in our life, folks. I understand that a lot of folks are young and they're still thinking, I've got my life ahead of me. I've got a career to make. I've got this to do and all that. But you see, all that can end just like that. And without Jesus, where will you be? And so I just want to just remind us that we shouldn't be taking the Lord lightly. His walk, we need to be taking more serious. See, we've kind of got to this place because of COVID, because of the devil. We've kind of got to this place where folks got comfortable about not coming to church. Right? They've kind of just got comfort. As a matter of fact, the pastors I've talked to, most churches have never recovered from COVID, from where they were at before COVID to now. It's not that they've lost the members, it's just that they won't come. They've gotten used to it. Can I tell you something? Online services were never meant as to take the place of you coming together and fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. Coming together as the body of Christ, because iron sharpeneth iron. But you see, so many folks, I mean, thank God for online services. We have online service. But that's for those that absolutely cannot get out. We've got some members that can no longer are able to get here, but they can watch online, and thank God they can. But see, here's the thing. A lot of folks just decide, I'm just going to watch it online, and I'll watch it at my convenience. And the truth is, you won't. Probably 90% of people won't actually watch it. They may start, but see, that's just the thing. You have the interruptions. Come on, Stephanie was right. You know, you can be watching online, but all of a sudden then your text pops up. This pops up, that pops up, you know, and all of a sudden you're distracted. First thing, I'll watch it later. Later never comes. Right? So we have to be careful to make sure that we're coming together. Matter of fact, the Bible has something to say about it. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 says, "And having a high priest over the house of God," talking about the Lord Jesus, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Anybody, can you see that? Can you see the day approaching? He goes on, he says, "For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an whole and unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." It's a pretty good warning for us that we need to be making sure that we're coming together. Because, see, coming together, assembling ourselves together, is a way that we can come and encourage one another. You ought to be encouraging one another to go to church. You ought to be happy to see your brother or sister and tell them that you're happy to see them, because we all go through the same things through the week. Don't let the devil tell you you're the only one going through something, because we all go through things. And it's good when we can come together and comfort one another, exhort one another, because we see that day approaching, folks. We see what the enemy's doing in the background. And so we need to get together. We need to assemble together so that we can encourage one another to keep on keeping on. And so that's our job as brothers and sisters are to make sure that we don't... Nobody. I like what the Marines, no man left behind. That's the way the church ought to be. We're not leaving anybody behind. We want to make sure that everybody gets to go. So we can look around and we can see things that are going on all around us. And so we know the day's approaching. I want to give you a scripture, if it's okay, from the Message Bible. Now, a little passage here. And you can follow along. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 32. Now, I'm going to read from the Message, but you can follow along with me. Matthew 24:32 says, "Take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice its buds form, the merest hint of green, you know summer's just around the corner. So it is with you. When you see all these things, you'll know he's at the door. Don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, listen to this, but for all of you." Notice that. He says, "I'm not saying this just for somewhere out in the future. I'm talking about right now." See, so many folks are, one of these days. No, he's talking to us right now. "This age continues until all these things take place. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even heaven's angels. Not even the Son. Only the Father knows. The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah's. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up until the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept everything away. The Son of Man's arrival will be like that. Two men will be working in the field. One will be taken, one left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one left behind. So stay awake, alert. You have no idea what day your master will show up." That's good, isn't it? See, notice there that it says that they were carrying on as usual and they had no idea until the day Noah entered the flood. Can I tell you that we have folks that call themselves Christians today, and we have a world out here that's just carrying on as usual, and they don't have a clue what's going on around them, and they're going to get caught up in this thing, and before they know it, Jesus is going to be here to take the church away. Amen. They were carrying on as usual. They were just partying, doing everyday things, not paying any attention. They had absolutely no concern for what was going on in the times that they were living. Church, we can't live like that. As children of God, we have to be aware of what's going on. We have to know the times and the signs of the times. Jesus actually, in this passage, that was one of his questions. What will be the signs of the ends of the times? Tell us what it's going to be. And that's when he goes through the wars, the rumors of the wars, and then he comes right on down and brings us to this place. They had no concern until it was too late. Well, why does there not seem to be any concern anymore? Have you thought about that? Why is there no concern? Well, now this is a little heavy, so I want to lighten things up just a little bit, and then we'll get back into a little more serious. You guys know that I love to fish, and we're talking about why is there no concerning them anymore. It's because we've seen some things change, and I'll elaborate on it in just a minute. But I have a little video. Now, it's just very short, but since I like to fish, I'd already seen this, and this thing just popped into my head about the time I was thinking about what I'm getting ready to say next. So if you all can get that video ready for me, this will kind of explain the way times have become, okay? Let's put attention on the screens there.
What does hung up mean?
I'm hung up.
I don't want to break it. Let's go get it.
Don't want to pull the plug. We'll drain the whole lake.
Oh. Hey, watch this. I just learned.
Give me the boat.
The last one, the first one it showed, supposed to be the last one. It's kind of got it on the end. What does hung up mean? 25 years ago or so, I remember Pastor Rod Parsley talking about something that I've never forgotten, because that just shows us going through the stages. If you notice there, the first one, you know, he didn't want to lose his lure, so he's going to go get that. And then, you know, the next one's a joke, and, you know, it just goes on until the first one, it showed that the guy's got a device in his hand. What's hung up? Because they don't even know how to fish, because things have changed. I remember Pastor Parsley talking about the generations and the way that things were changing even then. And one of the things he said is the first generation, they have a conviction. They have this strong conviction of God. And you're not going to pull them away from God. No matter what you tell them, they're not moving from God. They're not moving from the Word of God. They're going to stand fast no matter what. They're not going to leave that. But then the next generation only has a persuasion as it moves along. What's the persuasion? Well, the persuasion is that, you know, my parents believed in God, so I'm persuaded to believe in God. And so, you know, I'll lean toward God. But then the next generation down, they've moved now from conviction to persuasion to opinion. The next generation only has an opinion. Now, the thing about an opinion about God is this. If your opinion of God is better than my opinion of God, we'll just go with your opinion, because your opinion sounds like it's better. See, there's no staying with God in that. It's just about whoever thinks is the best. And then the next generation really has no concern about God whatsoever, because they haven't heard anything about Him. You see, and what's happened to us is from generation to generation, we've slowly disintegrated in our belief in God to the point that now we have a society that no longer believes in God. They don't have a conviction that marriage is between one man and one woman. They're no longer even persuaded about it. They don't even have an opinion about it. You know why? Because they're in the I don't care stage. They could care, just leave me alone. I don't care what you do. Don't matter what's going on in the world. Just leave me alone. I'll do my thing. I don't care whether I work or not. The government will keep me up. I don't care whether I teach my kids anything or not. I'll send them to school and they'll learn what they learn. Come on. I'm not teaching my kids at home. That's what teachers are for. And the truth is, a lot of them are not even taking care of their kids. It's the grandmothers and the grandfathers and great-grandmothers and great-fathers. See, we've come to this place that it seems like there's such a lack of concern for everything. And everybody's taking everything so lightly. Let me tell you something. Raising a child is not something you take lightly. You don't have children just to get another check and throw them off on somebody else. It's a thing that should be considered heavily, because you're bringing a life into this world that needs to be trained up in the ways of the Lord. And the truth is, if you're not going to train them up in the ways of the Lord, you best not have one. Because I'm going to tell you, we're to that place now that we need God in our lives more than we ever have. Come on. There was a time in some of these other generations when it was solid. You didn't have, somebody would make sure that your kid was taken care of. But we've got to the point now that people just don't care. That's why abortion is running rampant. They don't care for life a bit more than anything. They don't think about, well, I have to have an abortion after I have sex. So you're looking at me funny, but you know. in this generation and first and second generations, there would probably be a marriage if there was a pregnancy. But then when you get in the third and fourth generations, it becomes this thing of whatever my opinion is about it, or I just really don't care about it. So see, it's kind of become all that. I'm saying all this just so you understand. This is bleeding over into the church. And these kind of attitudes are bleeding over into the church where people just don't care about God. They don't care about church. They don't care about where they get filled with the Holy Ghost or not. I can remember a time when somebody got saved that their biggest priority after that was to get filled with the Holy Ghost, get their prayer language so that they could pray in another tongue to God so that they would have that direct line to God and that power could operate in them more frequently. Amen. And now nobody's hungry for God. Not hungry for the things of God. More hungry for what the world has to offer. The farm, the merchandise, the things. Just like those guys. They're not interested in the marriage supper. They're not interested in coming together and worshiping God and exalting Him. Even though He's the one that gave them the life and breath that they're breathing every day. And so we see these things passed down and we watch these things. And that's what I wanted to show, just the little fishing show, because I kind of been through most of those generations. I've been through the thing where I didn't have enough money to buy another lure. So if I got hung up with one, I'm going to go get it and do whatever. I'd jump out of the boat if I have to get the thing unhooked. I've been there. I've been through the generations, you know, that where people joke around and, you know, been through the generation. I still use that flip thing. That works. Okay. It'll save you from losing a lot of lures. But I've not gotten to the place, but I've seen the place where it's electronics now. Some folks rather fish on the TV as to get out in the nice fresh air, breathe in God's creation. We're seeing all this thing come to pass, and in the church, see, it's that way. There was a time when people, you had to be in the building. You had to be there. And you wasn't going to let the Holy Spirit get away without you getting hold of Him. Right? I'm hung up here, but I'm going after it. I'm going after the Spirit. I'm not leaving here till I get blessed. Come on now. I'm not leaving here till I get blessed. I've been here when the Holy Spirit started moving and everybody's laughing and the spirit of laughter is on this place and everybody just got the joy of the Lord there. I've also been here when people were hung up and they just didn't worry about getting it loose. They just throwed it down. I'm not getting to that place to where we're just looking. We're going to seek after His face. And we're going to not take Him lightly because we need Him the way the first generation needed Him. He's got to be a conviction to us. If He's not a conviction to us, then we're passing down to our children things and they'll get to the point where they don't even want to go to church because they don't think they should because you've shown them that other things are a lot more important than coming to church. It's already happening in our school systems. I mean, if you can think of something to do with a ball, they do it. Right? Come on, I don't, I mean, you know. It's they're doing it all. Why? Because it takes time away. I've seen everything from them flying around with a little thing with net on it, catching a ball. Right? So you all looking at me funny. I know I'm making you mad, but that's become the priority. Amen. Sports. Yep. And those kind of things. And it's more important than education.
That's right.
Boy, it's really quiet. You know when you start telling the truth, people get quiet. You know it's true. I'm just saying it, you know, so I can get in trouble. You won't say it because you're afraid you'll get in trouble. But you know it's truth. They'll cancel school over sickness. and then have a ball game that night. I'm just talking in school in general now. You've been talking about McGoffin County School. I'm talking about them all. So they can all just jump on to me. I'm not singling out anybody. That's the kind of things that happen. Make sure, you know. I was out the other morning at around 7 or 7:30 in the morning and drove past the school, and there they had the football players out on the field at 7:30 in the morning. Training, because it's one of those real hot days. I wonder how many of those we could have got in church at 7 or 7:30 in the morning. And how many of those coaches would have showed up at 7 and 7:30 in the morning to beat the heat. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good right now, because you know that's the truth. Folks will break their necks to get their kids to a sporting event or whatever they're in, but they won't even get out of bed to bring them to church. Because they take it so lightly. But I got news for you. Being the star on a football team will not get you to heaven. Come on, being a star basketball player will not get you to heaven. Being a star anything won't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is being a committed follower, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing going to get you there. So I see as a pastor, I really see a lot of folks that are gravitating away from God, and it's not the time to be pulling away from God, it's the time to be going toward God. I mentioned time just a few minutes ago, and you realize that all these things take away time. And did you know that time is the only precious commodity that you have? You think, your job pays you by what? Time. Right? Can I tell you something? Now, I'm going to make a statement and make some of you mad, but I'll explain it out. Time is more important than God, more important than your spouse, more important than your family, more important than your church. And see, you're quiet. Why would I say that? Because if you don't spend time with God, then you have no relationship with God. If you don't spend time with your spouse, you will have no relationship with your spouse. Right? Come on. Same thing with your family and church. Whatever you spend your time on is what you value. You can't have God without spending time with Him. That's why I say time is more important, because you have to spend time with Him before He's of any importance to you. Does that make sense to you now? Not putting God down on another level. I'm just trying to tell you that if you don't spend time on whatever it is that you love, then that means you value something else that you spent in your time on more. I'm not getting but just one or two of that. I know that makes folks mad, but it's the truth. Jesus said, "Don't you tell me that you love me and don't do the things that I do, it's tell you to do." It's amazing how many people say, "I love God," but they don't come to church. They take it so lightly, they don't care whether they're here or not, or any church, wherever they want to go to. Somewhere, if you're a child of God and say you love God, you ought to want to go to Daddy's house. Right? But you see, here's the thing. When we start taking everything lightly, and see, that's what's brought us to the place we're in now. People just took it lightly because some man decided to put on a dress and laughed about it, you know. When it was Three's Company and Jack Tripper was living with those girls pretending to be homosexual, they just took it lightly. And it just passed right on down. You see, the enemy's trick is not to just hit you all at once with something. It's to slowly, gradually bring you to the place to where He's got you. I've told this tale I don't know how many times, but you get to be my age and preach to the same people over and over. You know, you want to tell us a lot of the tales the same again. So I'm going to tell this tale again for some that's maybe not heard it. Preacher said he walked outside of his garage one day, was going out and come out his door, and he looked over here and he saw this big bug, and it was acting funny. And so he walked over there and he looked, and that big bug had one leg with a spider web strand wrapped around its leg. And he said, he thought, well, that big bug will break that. But he said, while he was sitting there watching, here comes a teeny little spider out there and throwed up another little web around his leg. And he said he stood there and watched as that big bug was struggling. That little spider, just one little strand at a time, finally overtook that big bug to where the big bug was totally incapacitated, totally captured there by that little spider. Now, that little spider didn't catch him all at once. He caught him with the first web, stalled him. And he just kept on until he finally had him. See, that's the way the devil works. The Bible says it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. And if we're not careful, see, we let the little things, we take it lightly. We just ignore it. We just let it, we overlook it. We just let it go past us, you know. And then all of a sudden we find out, oh man, we're in trouble. But you know, by the time you figure out you're in trouble, it's too late. You're done caught up. Amen. And so we have to be careful that we're not taking our walk with God too lightly, that we're allowing the enemy to get a web around us and hold us back. Come on. I saw a little thing. It went something like this, you know. You're expecting Jesus to rapture you from heaven, catch you up from heaven in the rapture. But you can't. Jesus can't catch you up out of the bed to go to church. Right? Another one said something about, you know, you think you've got enough God to go to heaven, but you ain't got enough God to get out of the bed and go to church. There's things like that are out there, you know, and a lot of truth to it. Where is our commitment to God? Where is our commitment to the one that we said that we believed on Him, that He, His death, burial, and resurrection is something we believed in and we made Him Lord of our life? Where is that commitment now? See, there's a continual... Listen. I kind of feel like that if a credit card company expects you to keep activity on a card or they're going to cancel it, the Lord would expect you to have some activity on your salvation account. Come on. Pastor Ed got a letter in the mail the other day and said, your card has been closed. Your account's been closed. And I thought, what did they close your account for? We pay our bills, and I got to reading, it was because of inactivity. Because she wouldn't use the card and they couldn't get no money off from it. They closed out the account. You know, I think some folks think that they can just make a confession to the Lord Jesus Christ, never go back to the Lord, never have any relationship with Him, think everything's okay. I'm afraid that's a wrong thinking. I know there's plenty out there. They're preaching it, man. They're putting it on Facebook. They love to tell you, I might not get everything in the Bible right. Listen. You don't need to be listening to somebody like that. If they don't know what the Bible says, you better stay away from them and get over in the Word. The Word that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Right? So I think we ought to stay with that rather than stay with what people think. Because, you know, you hear opinions. Remember opinions? Well, I just don't think you have to be in church every time the door is open. May be true, but I think you ought to want to be in church every time the door is open. Why would you not want to be in church when the door is open? See, I know it's quiet, I know, you know, but I'm just giving you some friendly reminders this morning that we don't need to be taking God lightly. We need to be pressing in more and more because we see the day approaching. Does anybody besides me see the day approaching? I mean, come on. I'm a sci-fi freak, okay? I love sci-fi. And I've been watching sci-fi movies most of my life. And way back when, I used to watch movies about AI. Right? And everybody's watched a lot of those movies, you know. Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Terminator, AI gone wrong. And here we are now, right in the middle of that. Even the people that have invented AI are saying, we need to stay away from AI. You know, why would they say that? Is it possible that they found out that AI was smarter than them and they've decided they could really turn against us and we could really have a bad problem? Now some of you are looking at me like, My car out there, I can push a button and go down the road and not hold to the steering wheel for a long time. It steers itself. It's got cameras on it that watch. Now, after a while, it'll tell you to get a hold of the wheel, but that's the beginning. Of course, they already have self-driving cars. Been having accidents, so they're trying to recall and see what they can do about it, you know, because it's not human yet. But I'm just showing you, things are happening. We're seeing things come to pass. And so you and I, we can shrug it off and take it lightly if we want to. But I'm telling you something, Jesus is coming soon. There may be some things, Rick and I disagree a little bit on the timing of it, but it don't matter. Just be ready. That's all that matters. He and I agree on that. Be ready, whether it's sooner or whether it's a little later, whenever it is, you better be ready. Why? Because you might not be around when Jesus comes. It just takes one accident. One simple mistake. One piece of human error. And your life's gone. And you better be ready for that. You better be ready to meet Jesus. Because once the breath leaves your body, it's over. The world could go on for thousands of years, but for you it's over. So it's not to take him lightly now. See, we're implanting things into our kids that we ought not to be implanting. And that's the fact that, oh, well, just go on, do what you want to do. You're still young. You've got plenty of time. We're messing up. We're teaching them that it's all right to take Jesus lightly. It's all right to take church lightly. It's all right to put these other things in front of God. Let me read you another scripture and I'll try to close up here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. How many know Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived? Let me just read something. I'm going to read this from the Amplified, but it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 10 through 14 here. It says, the preacher sought acceptable words, even to write down rightly words of truth or correct sentiment. The words of the wise are like prodding goads. Now, I looked up prodding goads just and I thought it's what it was, but it's a cow prod. You ever seen the cow prods, electronic? They prod the cows on and move them and get them along. The shepherds used to take, sometimes they'd take and drive nails or pins or something through a board or a stick so that they could peck them. So it hurt them a little bit, make them do what they wanted to do. So he says, it's like prodding goads and firmly fixed in the mind like nails are the collected sayings which are given as proceeding from one shepherd. But about going further than the words given by one shepherd, my son, be warned. Of making many books, there is no end. So do not believe everything you read. And much study is the weariness of the flesh. All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of His creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. And the whole duty for every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Everything else that we do that's outside that scope is for nothing. I know we don't want to hear that, but we're just spinning our wheels because it won't have any eternal value. So press on if you decide to. I've got another scripture, but I'm not going to. You can press on. You can do what you want to do. You can think that you can overdo the Word, outdo the Word, whatever. You may think you're smarter than God, but believe me, you're not. It's going to end up coming back for what you sow that you're going to reap. So we can sow into our family, sow into our kids, sow into our salvation, sow into our walk with God, and reap back what we sow into it. We just have to decide whether or not that's going to be something that we take lightly. Are we going to be serious about our walk with God and make sure that we're putting Him first? That's the question. Let's pray. Father, I ask You right now, Lord, if You'll just deal with our hearts, God. Lord, we want You first in our life, Father. And if we're putting anything else first, help us, God, to get rid of that out of our lives, or at least put it way to the side, Father, so that we can focus on You to be first. I ask You to help us, Lord, every time we start to make a decision, every time we start to do something, Lord, God, that it'll come up in our spirit what we should be doing and how we should be doing it and the way we should be treating You, Father God, in Your presence. I ask You, Father God, that every parent, Lord, that their kids, they'll instill into them the importance of putting You first in their lives. God, if there's someone here that hasn't made You Lord of their life, I pray, Father, today's the day they say, I'm making Jesus Lord of my life today. That's my first priority. So I give You glory, I give You honor, and I thank You for that. In Jesus' name.